Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Bubbling Adventure. We help busy parents who want to set their kids up for success by providing them tools to build a deeper connection with their family and to spend more stress-free time with their kids. I am your host, Julie, and each Thursday we are having conversations with guests on different themes, and our aim is to have open discussions, share different points of view, and learn in a non-judgmental way. Today's episode is all about why reading is thriving and how you can help your kids to learn faster. Maya Paine-Smart is a parent educator, literacy advocate, and the author of Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. Together, we discuss why our kids need to be better readers than us, the benefits of helping them at home, how to prime kids to enjoy literature while keeping it fun and light as your child's first teacher. I hope you will enjoy this episode. If you do, please make sure to spread the love and share it with someone who will benefit from it. You can also write a review if you're listening from Apple Podcasts. Click on the 5-star button on Spotify and join us on Instagram at The Bubbling Adventure for daily parenting tips. But without further ado, let's begin.
Papa, papa, en faisant cette chanson.
Maman, papa. Hi Maya, how are you today?
Hello, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Thanks for joining us. I'm very excited. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, I'm Maya Paine-Smart, the author of Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. I'm also a mom, a parent educator, and a speaker who is really passionate about helping kids and families lay a strong foundation for reading.
Wow. Well, you must be very busy. That sounds like a lot. So can you please let me know, because so you started as a journalist, right? And then you have this passion about literacy and you're trying to, you know, convert people and especially kids to reading more, and obviously, it comes with a lot of benefits, but how did that passion start?
I have always been a big reader as long as I can remember, just have loved curling up with a book and reading, and even reading informational texts and nonfiction books and how-to books and all the things. So for me, becoming a professional writer was the closest I could be to becoming a professional reader. And then when I had my daughter about 11 years ago, I really wanted to pass along that passion for reading and books, and didn't have a lot of information as a new mom about how to do that. We get a lot of instruction for things like how to install the car seat or how to nurse or even how to go through labor. But then once you actually have the baby in your arms and you're taking them home, you aren't given a lot of information about how to nurture their brains and help them develop into the smart, healthy kids that we hope they'll become. So I really just started at first just reading from a place of personal curiosity. And then my journalism skills and background kicked in and it turned into a full-fledged investigation, including reading hundreds of academic articles and interviewing researchers and reading industry reports and all kinds of things to create the manual I needed and to share it with other parents.
Yeah, that's very true what you say. I think there's a lot of information on some stuff, you know, like as you said, the car seat, or even I think when you're pregnant, a lot of people focus on pregnancy books. And, you know, obviously there's so many rules about what to eat, what not to eat, or, you know, labor and so on. There's a lot, but a lot of people tell me, oh, I got back from the hospital and now I don't know what to do. So yeah, like there's a lot of stuff missing, or sometimes we just focus on one part, but as we know, parenting is so many different aspects, and it's crazy to see these kids develop and become, you know, like full-on people. So it's great. And definitely, so at what stage did you, because I know that, for example, you thought that there were some gaps in your kids' education, this from what they were learning at school, that you thought it could be better. So from what age did you notice that, and what were those gaps?
So when my daughter was very young, probably about 2 or 3, I took a foundations in reading instruction, a graduate level course at the University of Virginia. I took it virtually. And so I was in a class with teachers who were early elementary school teachers who were actually teaching classrooms of kids how to read. And so it was really fascinating to have that insight into how teachers learn and what they learn. And much of the curriculum focused on best practices in reading instruction. So I had a really clear idea of what it looked like to teach a child to read when they were in kindergarten or first grade. But after doing that course, I still didn't have a good sense of what parents should do at home in the years before kids got to school. And then once my daughter got to kindergarten, first grade, and I saw some of the instruction taking place in classrooms that I visited and also classrooms that she was a part of, I had sort of these alarm bells going off when I saw the disconnect between what I had learned, what are best practices, sort of explicit, systematic phonics instruction, kind of teaching kids those connections between the sounds they hear in speech and the letters they see in print. A lot of that was missing in classrooms where teachers were focused more on the love of literature and sharing picture books, which is super important for building background knowledge and vocabulary. But I didn't see what I was expecting to see when it came to building phonemic awareness, which is sort of kids' knowledge of the sounds within speech. And then again, the letter knowledge and the connections between the two, teaching that in kind of an organized step-by-step fashion, which most kids learn, which most kids need in order to become fluent readers. So it was really just the timing of taking that class when my daughter was too young for me to apply those skills. I remember borrowing a friend's son who was a few years older so that I could do the homework assignments, because you needed to have a kid to do these running records and different assessments and things. So I just had kind of a unique perspective as a super curious parent looking into classrooms and seeing what was going on. And then when COVID hit, this was 8, 9 years into me thinking about these issues. And I saw so many parents who are stressed out and struggling with virtual education of really young kids. It's really hard to do kindergarten through a laptop.
Yeah.
And so there was this hunger among parents to have more specific advice on what to do, and not just the practice that you might get through a workbook, but the theory behind it, so that you would be a more knowledgeable and informed parent about how reading unfolds over time.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because it's, you know, if you find it challenging, and obviously you've done a course before and you're an avid reader yourself and so on, you can really see how many people would be impacted by this issue. So it's very interesting. And how old are kids learning how to read in the US?
So kindergarten here is typically kids are 6 for the most part, or 5, mm-hmm. turning 6 in the kindergarten year. And kindergarten is not mandatory in all of the states. So some kids will start later. Most kids do kindergarten. Some will start later. And there's also a push to have pre-kindergarten programs, so 3 and 4 year olds. But I'd like to give parents a general idea of how it unfolds in those early years when they're babies and infants, even before they're speaking to you in words. parents should really emphasize oral language. And so talking to them, pausing, waiting for their response, even if it's not a word, if it's a coo or a babble, treat it as if it were a sentence and respond and describe what's going on in your environment and ask them questions and really treat it like a duet. And then as they get older, let's say three, they're starting to notice print. And then you can talk about print and you can teach them the letters, that all letters are made of lines, dots, and curves. And you can drag your finger along the text when you're reading in a book so that they learn that text runs from left to right or top to bottom, and turn pages and talk to them about the title and the author, and sort of bring their awareness to print as they get older. And then, so for most kids, formal reading instruction isn't starting until they're five or six, but some kids, just through you reading, through you directing their attention to print, through you, the parent, teaching letters, the parent emphasizing, playing with sounds within words, many kids will just have such a strong foundation that they'll take off once formal reading instruction begins in school.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember learning how to read when I was 7 years old in France, and I don't think I really paid attention much to words. I mean, the spelling itself, because I know that since I was a baby, I loved being read stories. Like, that was something, it was my favorite activity. So sometimes when I was two or three, I would, I would say, for example, furthermore, you know, in French, but because it was just how it was in the book. So I always had a very good language in French from a very young age, but I do remember that it was a bit hard to learn how to read, and the pronunciation of, because in French as well, we have a lot of different sounds with the same letters. So it was hard to just do that. But I do remember doing all of that in class. And for us, it's our first year of primary school where we're 7 years old. And I know that in the UK, it's a little bit before as well. I think they're five or six, something like that, when they start to read. So it's interesting as well to see like how the different techniques. But yeah, I think it's, I mean, I thought it was pretty hard for me, but not as hard as for other kids. So I think also it depends, not every method is adapted to each kid. Do you have any different advice for that, like different methods?
I think that parents should pay attention to what is taught in the schools that they intend to enroll their child in and what the expectations are for each grade level. Because sometimes parents think, and they may have had the experience of learning things later in life, what was, for example, what was expected of my daughter in kindergarten were things that weren't expected of me in school until I was a year older in first grade. So the expectations have kind of risen. And so many parents will say, we're pushing kids too far, too fast, and they don't want to participate in that. But you don't also don't want to put your child in a situation where they're behind relative to what the school is expecting, or behind relative to the support and instruction that's given there. So you have to strike that balance between letting your child learn at their pace, but also preparing them for the system they're going to be learning in. There are many countries where formal reading instruction doesn't start until seven, other even English-speaking countries. And that works if the system is designed to support kids in teaching them the things at that certain age, but you can't expect your child to thrive in a system if they're starting behind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No, that's very true. And I guess also it's understanding, because I understand that in a class full of students, especially maybe that age, you know, it's hard to cater to each needs that they have. And because some kids are very good orally, some kids need to like write and like see, or some kids need to, you know, do like put things together and so on in order to build the words. So I guess that's also one of the benefits, right, of doing it at home with your kids, that you could maybe understand how they like to learn and how they're doing it better. What are some ways, for example, I'm sure it's in your book, but if you can share a couple of ways, for example, that could be useful for parents listening.
It's important for parents to understand that there is kind of a language of instruction that takes place in classrooms. And that language often in the early grades in the US includes using letter names. So the teacher might say something like, look at the letter C here. And that the child, a child that's not familiar with letters, doesn't understand what the letter C is. And so they're thinking C, like how you see with vision or see with your eyes, or they might be thinking of the sea, the body of water, all kinds of things. So I think it's important for parents, in addition to reading stories to build their vocabulary and background knowledge about all kinds of amazing stories and subjects, that they should spend some time talking about letters and bringing their child's attention to print before they get to school. So it's always great to start with the first letter of your child's first name, because kids are interested in that and they'll start to look for it on signs and graphic t-shirts and print, like, my name is Maya, so M is my letter. So as a child, I'd probably be more interested in M's and spotting them, picking them out, and learning to write them. And we have to remember as parents that all these really seemingly basic things are, it is a journey for a child to learn the difference between a letter or a number or a letter on a line of on a piece of paper. An L looks very similar to an I or a line or even a J. So we just have to start to talk about these things. And it doesn't have to be a big elaborate lesson, just a light touch in everyday life, bringing attention to letters and to print helps get kids ready for school.
So as a literacy advocate, why do you think it's so important that more people read, and especially kids learn how to read, and like, what are the benefits for you?
So reading in the United States, we really have a major reading issues where there are tens of millions of adults that don't read well enough to understand a ballot that they're voting on during elections, or to understand how to complete a job application, or to read in order to gain new skills to get a job that pays more. So it's a major issue, and there have been studies that show the association between low literacy levels, low educational attainment, low career prospects and earning potential, but even poorer health outcomes and greater likelihood of incarceration. So reading is so connected to just thriving and being able to function in society. So it's hugely important. And I think it's important for parents to think about it, because I think that our kids need to be pretty much better readers than us. I think the demands of reading are greater, particularly with the introduction of so much technology. Think about in the course of a day, how many agreements you're signing without, you know, you're just sort of scrolling through and tapping and signing away your privacy and all kinds of rights to technology companies. So I think that there's a need for greater sophistication. They need to be able to understand all of these documents that they're asked to interact with on a daily basis so that they can advocate for themselves, for their rights, for their futures.
That's so true. And it makes me think as well, it's a bit different, but for example, kids that you can observe them, they're 3 years old and they know exactly where to click on the iPad and how to look for the YouTube video that they want to play, which is absolutely crazy. And so you think they're able to read and type or whatever, you know, like to be able to do that, but it's probably just memory of, you know, the color or where the button is and so on.
And a lot of it is images, because YouTube is so sophisticated in serving up other things they're interested in. So they're just kind of mindlessly clicking on videos, and it's so addictive and kind of creates competition for reading. So if the choice is between getting all this amazing content that's personally curated for you by this algorithm and sort of the flatness of a book, we have to sort of prime kids to appreciate the joys of literature and reading and that kind of contained quiet time, or reading in community with others and having book discussions. But the devices and technology are major competition.
Yeah, and I know it's true for learning how to count, and I'm sure it's true for learning how to read, where sometimes a kid very small is going to learn with an iPad, an app that, so parents are like, oh, they're ahead because they already know how to count to 10, for example, but they don't have the notion of, for example, the fact that two is two things. It's, you see what I mean? Like the notion behind the word is not just like they learn by heart 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're able to recognize the number, but they haven't associated the value of, you know, 5 versus 2 or whatever, like that it's more. So yeah, sometimes you think that it's okay, but then they don't understand actual the thing. So I think it's the same probably with that, in the sense that they know this is YouTube, they can recognize it, but they wouldn't know how to, I don't know, spell it, or that this is the sound of like you. So yeah,
absolutely. With the alphabet song, a lot of kids can sing the alphabet song, mm-hmm. but what does that mean? So it's just A, B, C, D, F, G, you know, all they know those letter names. They don't necessarily know what image what letter in print those names connect with. They don't know that those names produce certain sounds. Like, they haven't made all of those connections. So I'll tell parents, rather than like have them playing this thing, this video of this, you know, dancing animal singing an alphabet song, talk to them about the letter, say the letter sometimes instead of always singing them, make reference to the letter on a piece of paper. And so always remember as a parent that you're trying to layer in knowledge and meaning and understanding and not just kind of filling the time and having them jump through certain hoops.
Yeah, that's so true. There's so many ways, and I know that sometimes you need the same thing taught in different ways to be able to understand. So yeah, to make sure that the whole concept is understood. Definitely,
it's also important for parents to keep it fun and light. And if even when we are intentionally trying to teach a lesson, it doesn't have to be a lecture. It doesn't have to feel like school. It doesn't have to be long and boring and intensive. Just those light little fun touches, maybe a song or a game or just a conversation, back and forth conversation, is really powerful too.
Yes, I 100% agree. I think there's, again, at school, it's often quite rigid due to having a class of, I don't know how many students and so on. They have to do it a certain way, and in some cases, you know, keep order so that it doesn't go out of control. But definitely, I think at home, it's also a great way, because you don't want to be the police. You don't want to be, you know, like, I don't know, like I think at the end of the day, after a long work day, for example, you just want to spend some time with your kids and not doing it in a conflict like vibe. So yeah, no, that's true. But for me, I know that reading helped me write so much better, and just being able to know how to, like, in general, I don't think I make a lot of like spelling mistakes and things like that. And I think it's really because I started reading from a pretty young age, and I've been reading every year since. And I think that's something that I never really lost. I mean, maybe in my teenage years, and then I went back at it. But that's also true that it helps you with so many other things. And to me, at least, reading is opening a world to so much information. Because obviously, you can read novels, but you can also read self-development books or history books, or I don't know. For me, it's really the best way to learn and escape for a few hours. So this is definitely something that you can wish on your kids, and especially like you said before, with all the screen use and the screen time and everything. You know, there's so many reasons to be spending time on the screen right now, but when you're reading your book, it's something different that's calmer, that's better for your eyes and for your mind and so on. So yeah, I really like your journey and your vocation to really, you know, try to encourage people to read more.
Yes, I always tell parents that there are so many things that you could focus on in parenting, and it starts as soon as you bring the baby home. You could focus on nutrition, you could focus on sleep, you could focus on reading, you could focus on a thousand things. And as they get older, there are just more and more things. You could focus on sports, you could focus on technology, you could focus on school. But if you focus and prioritize reading as a skill that you, as the parent, are learning and growing and discovering more about, and you make that a point of emphasis in your interactions with kids and also language. So we'll pair conversation, oral language with that as well, because that's where they'll get a lot of the vocabulary that they'll need to recognize when they see it in print. If you focus on language and literacy, you're supporting your child learning anything else they might want to learn in life, because as you mentioned, they can read a book and learn about engineering or chemistry or whatever the thing is. So I think that should be encouraging to parents, that you don't have to become an expert in everything and you don't have to try to expose your child to everything under the sun. You can focus on this one thing and it opens so many doors and prepares them to be able to learn on their own as they
I love
age.
that. Yeah, that's very encouraging. Obviously, we'll link the book and all of your social media and website in the show notes so that everybody can go and have a look. And is there any last advice that you would like to share?
I think the last bit of advice I would share is just for parents to really embrace the idea that they're their child's first teacher, and to know that just with the power of their voice, through conversation, through those back and forth turns, you can teach your child so much vocabulary that will support their comprehension when they read. And you can also teach them the nuts and bolts of reading. You can teach them about letters. You can do wordplay and songs to raise their awareness of the sounds within speech. So I just want to encourage parents to think of themselves as teachers and know that you can do these little things when your children are very young that support lifelong learning and positive outcomes.
That's great because it's very empowering. It's really, you know, we understand why and how to help them. So that's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Maya, for sharing your wisdom with us and your beautiful cause. And again, all the links will be in the description box.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to share if you think it might be helpful to someone you know. If you enjoyed this episode, then please make sure to write a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and subscribe if you haven't already. That's it for me. See you soon with the next episode. And in the meantime, have a lovely day.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.